Jesus, we love you. We magnify you, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor, Jesus. Oh, come on. I think we can do a little bit better than that. Why don't we just press in right now? Ooh. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. God, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. We give you glory today. Wonderful to know that you are not in this by yourself, but you got somebody holding you by the hand. Amen. I don't know. I'm just going to tell you, I don't think I could do it on my own. I know I couldn't do it on my own. I ain't smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have enough intellect. I don't have nothing. Everything that I have and everything that I am is all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo. I think we ought to just lift our hands and just tell him, thank you for your blood, God. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8. While you're standing, let me say again, and I know I say it every time I get in this pulpit, but it's not cliche. It is really how I feel, that I am so honored to be here with this wonderful church. If you're a visitor here today, I'm telling you, you couldn't have picked a better church in Birmingham to walk into on a Sunday morning. Man. You say, well, of course they're going to clap. It's their church. Well, I'm telling you, you stick around long enough, you'll find out what they're clapping about. Hallelujah. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful place to come and worship. Amen. Give honor to the bishop today, mighty man of God, and to all the saints of the Lord that are in Christ, and to those of you that are coming into Christ. Let's just keep growing together. Keep having revival together. Let's go to heaven together. What do you say? Woo. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8, Paul writing, understandably says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and, everybody say and, there are many adversaries. There are many adversaries. If God will help us today, I want to preach to you for the next few moments. There's strength in the struggle. Strength in the struggle. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands to heaven and asking God to help us today? God, we love you, Jesus. We praise you. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to your people, for bringing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We pray today, God, that your power, your spirit, your anointing would saturate us here right now. Lord, we're asking you for your help today. Let somebody leave here with strength in their soul. Oh, we ask it in your name today, in Jesus' name. One more time, would you just give a hand clap unto the Lord? While you're clapping your hands, lift your voice in a shout of praise. Come on, if you're really thankful to know Jesus, you ought to praise him and give him glory and give him thanks. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woo! Amen, amen. You may be seated in the fear of the Lord. In order to understand this text that we're reading here, we got to back up just a little bit and tap into the meat of the book in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 is the beginnings of the church at Ephesus. Paul is writing from Ephesus to Corinth, and so for just this little bitty snapshot of a couple verses, understanding that the majority of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, undoubtedly it's for Corinth, but it's for Birmingham too. It's for all over the world. And so, but this just little bitty snapshot of where Paul is and what Paul is going through, we see the beginnings of this church that he is preaching from or writing from to another church in Corinth, Ephesus, in Acts chapter 19 is picture
perfect revival. Acts chapter 19, people are getting baptized in Jesus' name, the only name under heaven for by which we must be saved. There are people that have been baptized before, but they're getting the revelation that the only way it works is if you say Jesus before you go down. Woo, I'm glad for that revelation today. Hallelujah. Well, I think I should be getting a little bit more help right there. I said, I'm glad for that revelation today. If you ain't got nothing else to be thankful for, you are to be thankful that you've been baptized in Jesus' name. Hey, and if you haven't, we got water today, and there's nothing hindering you but time and opportunity. Woo. Amen. People are getting rebaptized in Jesus' name. People are burning ungodly books. It's time to crank up the music and let's have church. Acts chapter 19 is what we think about when we think about 100 soul revivals. Acts chapter 19 is what we think about when we think about God pouring out his spirit in a modern day, like in a city. If he could do it in Ephesus, he could do it in Birmingham. I believe that God is still on the throne. How about you? Woo. But to understand from a point of view of the man that wrote it, it is important. He is writing to Corinth. His mentioning of where he is here in Ephesus, he makes mention of two things. He talks about doors and he talks about adversaries. Now, this might not be encouraging to everybody, but this is encouraging to me. Because in this scripture, it shows us that Paul, the man that wrote over half the New Testament, was struggling. He was fighting adversaries. The man that did all the miracles that were listed in Acts chapter 19 was fighting hell the same way that you and I fight hell. The man that we heroize, if that's even a word, if it ain't, I just made it up. We put him on a pedestal and we assume him to be the picture perfect apostle. Writes to us and says, he's telling us through the ages that there are many adversaries in Ephesus. In other words, he was saying, you can't get so much Holy Ghost that the devil don't still fight you. You can't get so saved that you still don't have a struggle. You can't be so powerful that the devil can't catch you in a weak moment, which leads me to the point that I am not the originator of, but it preaches good anyway, which is the truth of the matter. It's not a sin to struggle. We get so caught up in the fact that we're struggling and the enemy jumps on us and tries to convince us that we might as well throw in the towel because we're struggling. But let me tell you something, friend. If you're struggling, keep struggling because that means you're still in the fight. If you're struggling, keep doing it because that means you've got enough breath and enough grit in you to hold on through the storm and to hold on through the rain. Don't you dare let the devil convince you that it's time to quit because you're down. Just because you're down does not mean that you're out, honey. Abraham might have doubted, but he didn't quit God. Jacob might have lied, but he didn't quit God. David committed adultery, but he didn't quit God. I'm telling you that a righteous man falleth 7 times, but he gets back up again. I don't care what happened today, yesterday, or the day before. I'm telling you, if you fell down, it's time to get back up in the struggle, in the storm, in the rain. Let the devil know if you're looking for a hill for me to die on, you just pick one, because wherever I die, it's going to be with a sword in my hand. Wherever I die, it's going to be with a fight in my spirit. Hallelujah. Paul has found himself in the struggle in Ephesus, a place where they would worship their false gods to the point that they would get in the street and they would cry, "Great is Diana of Ephesus," for 2 hours. This is the place where he is fighting false god worship like he never has before. He is fighting things that are bigger than Paul. He is fighting things that are stronger than him. Understand, he came to preach Jesus to a bunch of people that do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He came to preach Jesus in a world that does not believe that he died and rose again. It was a struggle. There are many adversaries, he says. Can I preach to somebody today? It's a struggle for you to just to get to church because of the resistance, because of the adversaries, but you got to realize that the resistance isn't to strangle you, but the resistance is to strengthen you. You got to realize that the resistance is put there to make you stronger than you've ever been before. There's strength in your struggle, friend. Even Jesus struggled. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, I'm telling somebody today, you need to get a nevertheless in your spirit that says, even though I'm weak, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Even though I'm down, I will not throw in the towel. Come on, I'm reaching for somebody on a Sunday morning that walked in weak because the devil's been beating you up because you did make a mistake and you did fall. But I'm telling you, you need to get Micah 7 and 8 in your spirit and look the devil in your eye, in the eye, and say, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. I might be in the struggle, but I'm coming out stronger. Hallelujah. When Jesus said nevertheless, it wasn't just a strong moment following a weak moment. It wasn't just well, I know my purpose, but it was him pressing towards the purpose. See, the reason some of us can't make it is because we don't understand that God give you a purpose. Reason we don't make it sometimes and we feel like throwing in the towel is because we forget who we are and in whom we have believed. So, were you trying to make me something? I'm not trying to make you something, but let me just park right here for a minute and tell you, you are something. You mean something to God. You're important. You're invaluable to the kingdom of God. We can't replace you. If you go out the door, there's going to be a hole where you're sitting every service. Let me just tell you, if you're a visitor here today, we can't replace you. We love you. We want you to know that even in your struggle, you can still be a part of the kingdom of God. You can still be a part of what God is doing in Birmingham. Just because you're weak doesn't mean you're worthless. Somebody hear me today. You need to get that nevertheless in your spirit and come bring your flesh down, battle your flesh down as Jesus did at Golgotha, and make it bow and say, my spirit is willing, my flesh is weak, my spirit is willing, and I'm going to let the spirit man rise up out of the ashes and declare, I'm going to make it. I've got a made up mind that I'm going to make it. I've got a determined spirit that this will not be the last chapter. This is only to be continued. I'm still in the fight. I'm still in the fight. Hallelujah. The truth is, we all want to be like Jesus until we get in the garden. We all want to be like Jesus till he got in the struggle. If you're fighting hell, friend, good. That means it ain't got you yet. So I'm fighting up. Good. You're like Jesus then. You're pushing back the forces of hell. You're letting hell know that in Birmingham, as long as I've got breath in my body, there's going to be somebody that's going to live for God. I'm telling you, there's a young person in here today that needs to hear me. You don't have to do what everybody at your high school does. There's somebody here that's been working on a job and everybody's been laughing at the wrong kind of jokes. And you've been wanting to go the wrong direction because you're weak. But let me tell you, not everybody has to go to the way of the world. Not everybody has to backslide when they make a mistake. Not everybody has to walk away from God when they fall down. I'm telling you, that is not the defining moment of your life. What defines you is what you do after the fall. Get up in the struggle. Get up through the pain, through the tears, through the condemnation, and let the devil know, I'm gonna live for God. I preach, I come to church today and it feels like all I can do to lift my hands, I'm in the struggle. It's all I can do to pick up my feet, I'm in the struggle. I'm telling you today, you just keep doing what you're doing. Because what you don't realize is as you go against the resistance, as you're getting stronger with every step, every time you lift your hands when you don't feel like lifting your hands, you're getting stronger with every wave of your arm. Every time you say hallelujah, I know it's simple today, but I'm telling you, I'm preaching this into somebody's spirit that the devil's tried to convince you to walk out the door. Every time you say hallelujah and when you don't feel like it, it builds up that inner man. And that inner man, I think I can make it. I believe I can go another day. I believe I can go another. It's fresh air being breathed into your spirit, man. I want you to get what I'm saying today. To me, this is just a very simple but powerful revelation. If we're not careful in the short view of Paul's life in Ephesus, we'll miss the picture. This is the guy that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 5, he said, I was given 49 stripes, or 39 stripes, three times beaten with rods, one stone, three times shipwrecked, perils of waters, perils of robbers. In the cities there was peril. In the wilderness there was peril. Weary and hungry, weary in pain. I was thirsty, I was cold, I was naked. And then he said, in all of this I glory in my infirmities. Now understand what I'm trying to tell you. Paul is one bad dude. A night and a day, I've spent in the deep. How many in here has been shipwrecked three times? You've been stoned, beaten thrice with rods. Now tell me how bad you got it again so that you can't live for God. That man said, I'm talking about a guy that's done lived through all of that. And he said, there are many adversaries. My question is, what in the world else can happen? Paul said that this guy that's went through a night and the day and the deep and perils of robbers and all this stuff that he wrote about said there are many adversaries. The guy that wrote half the New Testament said, I am fighting things that are strong. Tell me again why you got a reason to quit when you ain't been through all of that. Oh, help me, Jesus. I feel like meddling a little bit right here, and I'm trying to resist the urge, but I don't think it's going to work. It blows my mind what our world considers persecution. You lost 100 followers on Instagram, and it's the end of the world. You had a water leak, so your water bill was $100 more than it normally is. It's the end of the world. Really? Well, you don't know, so-and-so at the church said something to me, and it just rubbed me wrong. Are you kidding me? You mean you're going to let that stop eternal salvation? You're going to let these little minuscule things stop you from living for God? I'm telling you, when you get to glory land and you start giving all your excuses of he said, she said, they did, he did this, she did that, and all this other junk about why you couldn't live for God, he's going to say, hey, come here, Paul, tell him what you went through. Ooh, it got quiet all of a sudden, my Lord. Come here and tell them everything that you had to go through and you kept on living for God. You know what? Paul's going to look at you and say, hey, honey, there's strength in the struggle. If you just keep fighting it, you'll keep getting stronger. I'm telling you today, I'm preaching to you in the spirit of Paul, if you'll take it that way. And I'm telling you, you can make it. You can make it through the storm. You can make it through the rain. You can make it through the struggle. There's glory in this struggle somewhere. You're getting stronger somewhere. There's some things you can't get anywhere. I love the shout, but some things you can't get in the shout. There's some things you can only get in the struggle. I love to dance, but there's some stuff you can't get in the dance. And we can praise break until the cows come home. And we can talk about how good God is. But the truth of the matter is when you get in the struggle, you'll find things that you can't find in the dance. And you can't. And again, y'all know I love to shout and dance. But I want you to understand that God, if you're in the struggle right now, God is trying to put something in you that you can't get anywhere else. He's trying to put something in you that you can't get by sitting in a pew. He's trying to put something in you that you can't get walking around the church shaking hands and being friendly. If you're in the struggle, God is trying to let destiny be birthed inside of you that you can't get anywhere else. Hallelujah. If you will allow me very quickly, I'm hurrying today to draw your attention to a man by the name of Jacob. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. And in this, in preparation for this, I just started wondering, why did Jacob fulfill the promise that God gave his grandparents? I mean, God told Abraham, I'll make your seed like the sand on the seashore, like the stars of heaven. But Abraham only has one kid. He understands that the way God works is the promise is going to come through him. Isaac, the same thing happens. The promise is reinforced, and he has two. Isaac receives the promise handed down from his father, but he never sees it. Both men walk with God. Both men walk in favor. But there's a downfall. Let me just preach this how I feel it in today. How I'm feeling it in my spirit. There's a downfall in always walking in favor. Ooh, I lost about 90% of you right there. Because sometimes you'll go in places where favor runs out. And then you got to learn how to live for God when you don't have favor. If you learn how to live for God while you're always favored, what are you going to do when you go to a job where nobody worships God? What are you going to do when you start meeting people that want to persecute you and want to talk bad about you and slander your name because of the way you dress and the way you walk and the way you talk? I'm telling you, you got to learn how to live for God when there is no favor. That's what living for God is really all about. It's not just about the fishes and the loaves, but I'm in this for the long haul. Sometimes favor runs out, and Abraham, every time we see him and God together, that's what he's doing. He's following the favor. Isaac inherits the favor, and it's daddy's name, and it's the daddy's promise, and it's daddy's favor, and it's handed down to him and his wife, and they continue. But the very first time you see and you read about Jacob, it's before he's even born. It's the only time in your English Bible that the word is used. The Bible says in Genesis 25 and 22, when Rebekah conceived, the Bible says that the children struggled within her. It's never used in the Bible up until this point. And the Lord speaks to Rebekah and says, inside of you are two nations. And the younger is going to be stronger than the older. Why? Because he's more manly? No. Because Esau was a man of the field. He was a hunter. And Jacob was a slick-faced mama's boy. And I just preach it how country boy would preach it today. If there's anybody that's going to be a man, it's going to be Esau. He's a man of the field. I mean, come on. He's a hunter. He's a hairy man. And Jacob spends all his time sitting around mama's house. But there was something inside of Jacob that was not afraid of the struggle. And so God brings him to the place that he brought Abraham. And God brings him to the place that he brought Isaac. And where Abraham fell on his face and Isaac fell on his face and said, God, I'll take whatever you want. And God brings Jacob to the same place. And while Abraham and Isaac are just so worried about following the favor and trying to get something from God, as Jacob and God meet face to face, when he sees God, he reaches up and grabs God by the ear. Come help me a minute. He's saying, oh my God. And as he grabs God by the ear, he hits him in the stomach 3 or 4 times. I'm not really going to hit you. And he puts him in a headlock and he says, I'm not letting you go. Why not? I want a blessing. I want something different than everybody else. Everybody else has just laid down and took what they could get, but not me. I was born in the struggle. I've lived in the struggle. And I understand that because I'm in the struggle, that there are some things that are only going to come from there. I'm not going to get this falling on my face in favor. I'm not going to get this. Come on, come with me. Put out, boy. I know you ain't big for nothing. Come on, we fighting here. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All this is going on. No, I'm not letting you go. Come on, let me go. No, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. I'm not letting you go till you bless me. You can push me around if you want to, but I'm not letting you go till you bless me, because I understand that there's strength in my struggle. And so I might have to get a hold of God and hold on to God by the ear and say, God, but I understand that the name change is only going to come if I don't let go until I get a miracle. Problem with Abraham is every time God came in his presence, he was just willing to take whatever he got. Hey, there's some things, there's sometimes I want more than what God wants to give me. I'll just be honest with you. When it comes to the miraculous, I'm greedy. So if you don't want your miracle, please let me know, because I do. There was something inside of Jacob that wasn't inside of Abraham, that while he was in the womb, he said, and I know we always said Jacob's name meant deceiver and all of that stuff, but Jacob's name meant supplanter. And when you look at the word supplanter, it means he that will win by all means necessary. Doesn't mean liar or cheat or any of that. It just says that boy's going to do whatever he's got to do to win. I was born in the struggle, and in the struggle I have remained. And God, you better know this, I will not let go until I get a hold of a greater miracle than I've ever had before. Right. Bishop, can I just preach how I feel in my spirit today? That's why some of us, I'm fixing to stomp on some toes right now, so you just better ride with it. I mean, if you don't like it, you can leave now, but everybody will know who you are, so you better sit still. Well, y'all love me, don't you? I love y'all. That's why you keep coming to church, and you're in for 3 months, and you're out for 6. Oh, we digging today. I know y'all would rather me preach to the visitors, but I was up about all night, the Lord eating me up with this, and I can't get it out of my spirit until I preach it out. So here we go. That's why you come to church for 3 months and then miss the next 6 months, is because you're happy just getting a little Abraham blessing of, oh, there's a promise way over there. And you'll get it sometime down the road. And so you come get a little bit of favor, and you go back out, and you live for God until that little bit of favor you came in and got a hold of runs out. And then you got to come back in and get your favor fixed. Just give me a double shot. I hear people say that all the time at coffee bars. I don't know nothing about all that. Give me extra favor. Maybe I can make it 8-10 months a year without getting back to the house of God. Somebody online probably just turned me off. Maybe I can last a little bit longer. But you see, if you want the promise to come to pass in your generation, you got to grab God by the ear And I'm not just in this for favor. Because sometimes, and there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8, you go read it. Favor ran out. But you want to know why they got out of Egypt? It's because there was somebody that said, I know how to live for God with the lashes on my back. I know how to live for God when I'm working another man's job. I know how to live for God when they're talking about me, when they're running me down, when nobody wants to be around me, when nobody wants to be my friend, when nobody wants to walk by me and talk to me. I know how to live for God in Egypt. And so you can take the favor, that's fine, but you can't take the determination that I have in my spirit to live for God in spite of the favor being gone, because I know that there's strength in my struggle. When you learn how to grab God by the ear, I know that's a very mundane way of putting it, but when you learn how to find the strength in the struggle, understand when Paul's writing here, and I'm trying to hurry, I could stay here all day and preach this, but when you learn how to live for God without favor, understand Paul wrote of two things. He said, there are doors and there are adversaries. This word doors comes from the word portal. Understand that's where Jacob was when he saw the angels ascending and descending. He said, see if I will bring you the tithes offering into my storehouse and all that, and see if I won't open up a window. That word window is a portal. Letting you know that your giving, oh, help me, Lord, is directly connected to the door just as much as you learning how to live for God without favor is connected to the door. The windows of heaven are being, you want that kind of stuff, you got to learn how to live for God when you can't feel God. But we get all set. We can all dance. We can all run the aisles when we're at church on Sunday morning. And the choir's hitting, I mean, they're knocking it out of the park. And you can feel the beat of the drum. And everybody else is dancing. It's a little bit easier to do it like that. But how do you live for God when favor runs out? That's the question that decides if you're a Christian or not. I'm sorry if you're a visitor here today. I promise I'm not this mean all the time. But I want you to understand today, there's glory in what you're going through somewhere. There's strength in it somewhere. And you can get mad at God, and you can get mad at the preacher, and you can get mad at this one and that one because it's not how you thought it was supposed to be. First of all, you need to get what you thought, what you had in mind, out of the way. Because God never works with what you had in mind. God always works with what you have in hand. What, Moses, what do you have in your hand? I know what you had in mind, but what do you have in your hand? This isn't what you had in mind. I know, Moses, but you got to go back to Pharaoh's house. Well, how do I do it? Not with what you have in mind. All I got is a rod. Well, throw it down. And it becomes a serpent. Pick it up, and it turns back into a rod. God will always work with somebody that says, you know what? If I've got to bull my way through, so be it. If I got to believe when I can't feel, and so be it. If I've got to lift my hands and worship, even though I feel like, God, you're a million, I'm preaching to somebody right now. You're a million miles away and you're not speaking and you're not talking. I've got enough spiritual maturity to understand this season doesn't last forever and you won't always be here and you won't always have to walk through this storm. If you'll just learn how to get rid of what you got in mind and use what God gave you in your hand. You'll hear me preach about this, I'm sure, at a later date, but as the musicians come. But here's the thing with God. When God speaks, he means it. And what usually happens is after God speaks is we typically get in some kind of a storm that makes us question what God said. And so we find the disciples there as the musicians are playing. And stand with me if you will. I promise I'm closing, and I'm not closing three times today. But Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, get in this ship and go to the other side. The Bible says he constrained them. He commanded them. The word constrained by picture literally means that he tied them into the ship with his words. He commanded them to the ship and said, go to the other side. And then you read the story, and the Bible says that while they're in the ship and they're going to the other side, that Jesus is sleeping. I mean, how you sleep is what I want to know in a boat from way back then in a storm. He's sleeping in the storm. He's sleeping in the bow of the ship. And they came to him and they said, Master, carest not that we perish? And you see, that's where we are right now. That's where somebody is today. Don't you care, God, that I'm in the struggle? Don't you care, God, that we perish? Don't you care? And God stands up and kind of brushes himself off. And you see, the revelation here is the fact that you got to understand is it's not that he didn't care. It's just that he already told you what to do. And so when God gets silent and it seems like God's speaking, it's not because God doesn't have direction. It's because you've already got the direction. So you need to go back to the last time God spoke and apply that to this situation. Jesus told him, he said, you're going to the other side. It's not that I don't care. It's that I've already gave you a prophetic word. The storm might come and you might feel like I'm sleeping and I'm gone and I'm not there and I really don't care about what you're going through. But you got to understand that I've already spoke to you and told you that you've got what it takes to make it. You've got what it takes to go to the other side. You've got what it takes to be... You can make it. I wish you'd look at somebody today and tell them, you can make it. You can make it. There's strength in your struggle. I know you feel like giving up, but there's strength in this. Yet, I have a glory in my infirmities. You know why a man can say, I'll glory in this? Because he understands that when you fight through the adversaries, there's a door. And he said it's an effectual door. There's a lot that goes into this word effectual. I said I wasn't closing three times, but here's my second one. I guess I just do it autonomically. This effectual thing is, you get into what this word means, it's action. It's designed by God to be successful. It's purpose. And there's a whole nother message in all of that. But Moses, I know you're in the struggle, but just go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. What? There's many adversaries, yeah, but there's going to be a door open. There's going to be a portal that opens through the Red Sea, and you're going to walk out. The children of Israel are going to walk out on dry land. Living for God in the struggle always opens the door to the miraculous. You want miracle signs and wonders? Live for God when you don't see miracle signs and wonders. You want the supernatural? Live for God when you can't see the supernatural. You want to be healed? Live for God when you don't feel like you've ever been healed. You want to be blessed? Live for God when you're broke. There's strength in your struggle. There's strength in your struggle. God's making something out of you. He's drawing destiny out of you. On every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just, I'll tell you what, let's do it like this. Why don't you make your way to an altar today, everyone that would you step out of your pew? Could we make this a family affair right now? Everybody here, this is one big family. If you're a visitor, you were only a visitor for the first 10 minutes you're here. You're no longer a visitor. You're home folk now. So would you make this a family affair today and come down to the altar and let's pray together, God. Because there's some people here today that are struggling. They're in the fire. They're in the flame.
Miracle work.
Ooh, come on, come on, come on.
Miracle work. Way maker.
Miracle work. Way maker. going to be tried in the fire, but you're coming out as pure gold. I'm burning the impurities out of you in the struggle. Come on, somebody talk to him right now. Again, if you're a visitor here today, this can apply to you just as well as it can to church folk. I'm telling you here right now, right here, right now, you can overcome. You can overcome. You can overcome. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but you can overcome. It doesn't mean you got it all together. God's not asking you to have it all together. God's just asking to have it all. Yeah. Come on, there's strength.
You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you work.
Even when I don't feel it,
you work. Never stop working. Even when I don't see it.
Come on, the Holy Ghost is reaching for somebody right now. Come on, young lady, hear me. Suicide's not the answer. You'll find strength in this somewhere. Come on, another empty relationship. That's not what's going to work. What's going to work is if you surrender to the Lord.